1. Now, some of you have been with me since, Joshua. You see, I get one thing. He told me about this before I even started. But I get one thing in my mind, and that's it. That's it. Some of you have been with us the whole time in Proverbs. And you've probably wondered, will he ever finish? I can remember I started this series, I think, in 1997. Now, the first 7 chapters, I did every Wednesday night. Because I can remember I used to have the boys of our church come up and read the Proverb when they could read. My kids were little, and they'd try to read Daniel Pemberton, Josh Pemberton. But that's when I started the exposition of Proverbs. And about 7 chapters in, it was just grinding me down. I mean, so I thought, you know what? I'm going to just break this up. And so I started doing a chapter or 2 a year, and then I may skip a few years. So that's why it's taken so long. But today, we'll start with chapter 31 and verse 1. And this may be one of the most familiar proverbs in the Bible. It's a description of the virtuous woman. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now, in this last chapter of Proverbs, we're introduced to King Lemuel, whose name is not found anywhere else in the Holy Scripture. Some commentators and scholars believe that this was the pet name given to Solomon by his mother Bathsheba, but such conjecture is not supported by Scripture. So, we would do well to leave the matter of King Lemuel's identity and history and that of his godly mother in the hands of the Lord. I don't believe in speculation. Perhaps a lesson will be taught by the Lord when we reach the glory land, unlocking the mystery of who Lemuel and his mother were. But until then, I'm content with studying what is clearly revealed in the chapter before us. Whoever King Lemuel was, we can all agree that his mother gave him some of the most valuable instruction a young man could ever receive. The instruction of Lemuel's mother was so significant that it is included in the Holy Scripture and recognized as divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. That's why it is authoritative. That's why it is important. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now, if you recall, Deborah was another woman God used to compose a portion of divinely inspired Scripture, as revealed in Judges chapter 5. It's not in my notes, but Samuel's mother, Hannah, also prayed unto the Lord, and her prayer and her song is recorded for our benefit. The blessed contents of this chapter reveal the character and love of a godly mother who was intensely involved in the instruction and the teaching of her son. You look at This is what's amazing to me about the Word of God. No matter what is going on in contemporary history, there can always be application and instruction right from the Word of God. I am convinced that if we had more godly mothers and godly fathers who are united together in holy matrimony, who have covenanted together to love each other, to cherish one another, to respect one another, and to raise their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, we would not have a society that is given over to immorality, perversity, rebellion, lawlessness, ungodliness. As I read this chapter and meditated upon it, I thank God for all mothers who have engaged in this noble pursuit of raising, training, teaching, instructing their children in the things of God. I don't think there's a more valuable lesson in all the world than to teach your children and your grandchildren the truth as it is in Jesus, revealed in the Word of God. It's more vital than any course on economics or science or sociology or psychology. Teaching them like Lois and Eunice did, teaching them the Holy Scriptures, planting the seed of the living Word of God in their hearts. So thank God for mothers who are committed to this pursuit. Every child would be blessed to have a mother who loves them so much that she would instruct them in holy things as well as the practicalities of godly living. This dear mother was for all intents and purposes a woman who literally homeschooled her children. She was deeply interested in the salvation, the education, and character of her children. She took it upon herself. And really, when you think about it, all of life is an education process. Deuteronomy 6 tells us that as parents, no matter where we are or what we're doing, make application of the Scripture. Think about if children were raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and they went with their parents to church, to Sunday school, to church. They read the Bible at home. When they had to go to school, if they went to school, they'd be so much better fortified. I fear today that our culture has become so corrupt because parents are not committed to instructing their children, training them, disciplining them. Last night, the man was killed for resisting arrest. He evidently tried to take the police officer's taser. The immediate response to this was to burn the Wendy's, where it happened. I thought, how could that be the response? It wasn't the fault of the Wendy's. But when you are, folks, kids are being raised today with no sense of right or wrong. No moral authority. They're not getting it from their parents. They're not getting it from the school system. They're not getting it from the internet or from television or social media. And the result is anarchy, chaos. Oh, that God would raise up multitudes of such mothers who are committed to guiding their children in the ways of righteousness and godliness. Timothy had a mother and grandmother who were both committed to his education, religiously and socially. According to what is recorded in 2 Timothy 1:5 and 3:14 and 15. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let's go ahead and get to verse 2. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? Though Lemuel wore the title of king, his mother addresses him as her son, her own flesh and blood. It's interesting that she calls him the son of her womb, faithfully carried by her for 9 months, while he, as an individual person, grew and matured within her. While he was within the safety of her womb, she was praying, no doubt, for his health, his salvation, his usefulness to God and man. She no doubt remembers the pangs of childbirth on the day that he came out of her womb. Her tears of physical pain were mingled with the joy of bringing a healthy son into the world. It's why she calls him the son of her womb. She had uttered solemn vows before God to raise him in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. She was committed to training him up in the way he should go. She was a mother who was fully invested in the life of her child. That should be true of every mother. Oh, that God would be pleased to raise up women of such godly character and compassion and selflessness. Because that's what it requires to be a mother. Mothers who are committed to the physical and spiritual health of their children are so vital to the well-being of a society. A nation is blessed to have women who are devoted to this sacred calling of motherhood. Think of how many sons and daughters have been blessed beyond measure by the love of a caring and a consecrated mother. Think of how many men and women of character, consecration, and leadership have been raised by a mother who was devoted to pleasing God. Yet we live in an age when children are looked upon as a burden to be born. Or worse, to be exterminated. before birth, to be eliminated like you would a bug or a rat from your house. It is unnatural to be void of affection for children before and after birth. It's unnatural. It is the mark of a reprobate society that convinces women to be without natural affection for their own flesh and blood. And I've heard the arguments of those in favor of abortion. Well, what can we do for these women? How can we provide for them? Well, let's go back to the beginning. You want to solve a lot of these problems? You want to stop abortion? Here's a hard conversation to have in a society that's saturated with sex. Don't have sex until you're married. And don't have sex with anybody outside of the marriage covenant. That narrows things down quite a bit. And I know it takes two to tango. I'm not at all, but we're raising young men with no virtue about them. No respect for women. And sadly, it's almost anything goes in the perversity of our society. You break down the family unit the way God designed it, you're going to have chaos, lawlessness, anarchy. Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. May God help us to train our children to be virtuous, to train them that they are to be responsible for their children. It's not the government's job to raise anybody's children. It's your job. I took this responsibility on. I can remember when my daughter was born, how my heart swelled with joy, but I also realized we've got a huge responsibility here. I began to seek God, and I've made a lot of mistakes as a dad and as a grandpa. But I've tried to stay consistent. All that God would deliver us from the culture of death and degradation. Because really, that's where all this leads to. Degradation. George Lawson said this, "Every mother loves the son of her womb. If she does not, she is not a mother, but a sister to the ostrich, to which God has denied understanding. Lemuel was the son of her vows as well as of her womb. Every son of the womb should be a son of the mother's vows and prayers, and the instructions of a parent must be joined with prayers for their success. For mothers may plant and fathers may water, but it is God who gives the increase." As we journey through Proverbs 31 in the next several weeks, I pray that we would rejoice in the instruction, and that we would see just how profitable it is to you as an individual, to your family, to the Lord's churches, to society at large. May God help us. We're dismissed.